This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442 for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. They are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. And greetings, brethren. Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles 2005. What a time this is. And the Feast of Tabernacles is the great feast that we keep, and we're certainly very thankful and happy that God has given us the blessing and the privilege and the means to be able to do so and to come together and to fellowship with God and with the brethren. Now, let's think on this and see what a great and tremendous blessing this is. God has given us the understanding of His will and of His plan and of His secret that has been hidden from the ages. And we live in a time and we have the Word of God, so we have all of it together so we can know, and so that we can understand the Word of God, be participating and growing and changing and overcoming and developing the character of God, and know, just like the prophecy in Daniel, where Daniel told the king concerning the dream. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. And just like John wrote in the book of Revelation, the words of Jesus, these are the words of God. These are the sayings of God. These are true and will come to pass. Well, just like with the Feast of Tabernacles, in the plan of God, there's a beginning and there's an ending. So the Feast of Tabernacles introduces the last great phase of God's plan, beginning with the millennium. And the Feast of Tabernacles is a great and tremendous opportunity to learn of the Word of God, to have the Word of God reinforced to us, to show us the things that we need to know. And every time that we come, we learn a little bit more. And we have it more deeply ingrained into our heart and our minds and our lives, and it becomes a part of us. And also, it's a magnificent time where God teaches us, because God also teaches us by doing. And as God has shown, those who do His commandments will have understanding. Those who love Him will have understanding. Those who believe Him will have understanding. And those who look to God the Father and Jesus Christ continually will have salvation. So the Feast of Tabernacles is a great time, a marvelous time, because it pictures what God has always wanted to do with His people. Beginning with Adam and Eve, what happened there? God dwelt with them. They lived in the garden of God, Eden. And it was a tremendous place. And, of course, the promise that Christ has given through the preaching of the Apostle Peter is that we are to be converted so that we can help bring in the restitution of all things. And the Feast of Tabernacles is part of the restitution of all things. Now, when God was dealing with Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dwelt in tabernacles. And God walked with them, and God talked with them, and especially with Abraham. And the whole plan of God hinges upon the covenant and the promises that God gave to Abraham, which then down through time are going to be fulfilled in the magnificence of the plan of God. And we understand that, and we have a part in it, and we realize the calling that God has given to us. So this is a tremendous and wonderful thing for us to participate in. We also know that God made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when they were in the wilderness. And He commands all of us to dwell in booths. And we realize today that we don't have to build the booths because we are the tabernacle. We are the tabernacle of God that God is dwelling in now. God is dwelling in us, and that's what the important thing is, which we will see tomorrow in the first day. Now, when we come, let's come here to Exodus, the 25th chapter, and let's see something that pictures the Feast of Tabernacles, because the reason that God gave the instructions for the tabernacle to Moses was this. Let's come here to Exodus 25 and verse 8. And he says, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Now, God has always wanted to dwell among his people. And the people didn't want him. Even when Christ came, they didn't want him, did they? No, he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. No. And so then he has called us, and he has invited us. And he has said, "I want to dwell in you now, and I want you to dwell with me for all eternity, beginning with the return of Christ and the setting up of the kingdom of God and the rule of God for 1,000 years on the earth." So there it is here. "Let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Now, when Solomon built the temple, it was really quite a fantastic and marvelous thing in what God did when the temple was completed and put his presence in it. That was really a magnificent thing. And of course, we know that when the tabernacle was finished, what happened? The presence of God was known in the tabernacle because a great cloud covered it. God showing that he put his presence there to dwell with his people. And again, when the temple was built, we have this great and this marvelous ceremony which shows the temple being finished here. Now, let's pick it up here in 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 11, and let's see what else happened when the temple was completed and the great and marvelous ceremony that took place. See, they had 7 days of dedicating of the temple, and then they had 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day. So the dedication of the temple and this event that we're talking about here in 2 Chronicles 5 undoubtedly had to have happened on the Feast of Trumpets, which ties in with God and the type of Christ coming to the earth. Now, verse 11. "And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place," so they went in and had everything all set up, had the golden candlesticks, they were all lit, the altar for incense was all set, the bread for the show bread was there, and so forth. They came out of the holy place, where all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not wait then by course. Now, that's another thing, the division of the priests. So here are all of the priests round about there, and also the Levites. Now, there were more Levites than there were priests, which were singers, all of them. Then it lists the leaders of the singers, of Asaph and Heman and Jeduun and their sons and brethren, being arrayed in white linen. So here's almost a foretaste of what it's going to be like to be in New Jerusalem and to live with God. Here they are being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps. Isn't that what we're going to do? We're going to have the harps of God. We're going to sing. Yes, indeed. So, here we have the same thing here. "They stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And this being the Feast of Trumpets was all day long. And this was a special event." Here, the temple of God was dedicated and then ready for the Feast of Tabernacles. Now notice, verse 13, and it came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up the voice with the trumpets and cymbals and musics of instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of God, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Tremendous and wonderful thing that that was. Now, God did this because he wanted to dwell with his people. And this is a profound and important thing that happened. And as we know, the rest of the story, they did not want to live with God. What an incredible thing. Just like it was when Christ came. Here, let's go to John, the first chapter, and see that. Just like when Christ came, an amazing thing. Here the Creator God came according to the prophecy that was given by Moses, that he would send that prophet and they would listen to him. He would bring salvation and so forth. And so he came. Let's pick it up here in verse 10. It's talking about the Word, Logos, Christ. He was in the world. And the world came into being through him. Now that's quite something to understand, isn't it? The maker, creator of the world came to dwell among men, and we know that is taught as tabernacling. Now we'll cover a little bit of that tomorrow. But the world did not know him. Now you talk about the vanity and independence of the human mind. And the deception is really something, isn't it? Here God comes in the flesh, as he promised, and he lives among them. He's the creator of everything that there is, and they didn't know him. He came to his own, because it was prophesied that he would come of the seed of David, or of the root of Jesse. And his own did not receive him. They rejected him. And this is also showing not only the carnality of human nature, but the perverseness of human nature. They want God, they want his blessings, but they don't want him. Then they complain because God doesn't do what they want. Well, notice the blessing that happens when you really receive him. Verse 12. But as many as received him, or receive him, to them he gave authority to become the children of God. And that's why God wants to dwell with his people, because he wants them to become like he is. That's why. And we're going to see that's the whole reason of the purpose of the Feast of Tabernacles. Become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were not begotten by bloodlines, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but by the will of God. So we have here that we then, as we'll see tomorrow, are a new creation being created in Christ Jesus, so that we can dwell with God. And God now is temporarily dwelling in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of the spiritual possession that we are going to receive in the full at the resurrection. Then it talks about how he became flesh and dwelled among us. Now, let's come back here and see how the Feast of Tabernacles is to be conducted. And we're going to see that the way we're conducting it here, as far as the teachings and everything are concerned, are quite similar. Now, Just put this in your notes, Ezra 7 and verse 10, that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel the statutes and judgments of God. Now let's come to Nehemiah the 8th chapter, because this is quite a chapter and tells us an awful lot about the feast. It tells us an awful lot about how they conducted the Feast of Tabernacles, and we will see is very similar to how we conduct the Feast of Tabernacles today. Now, Nehemiah 8 and verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. Now this is in Jerusalem. And they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all could hear, all that could hear with understanding, the first day of the seventh month. So this is on the Feast of Trumpets. So there they were, all gathered together. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning to midday. So they had morning services. And before the men and women, those who could understand, the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Now today, we have it where we can all have our Bibles. And in most places where we gather to meet, we're able also to have tables. So we can all open up our Bibles and follow along with the scriptures that are read and see it for ourselves. And this accomplishes several important things and is really one of the better ways of learning. Number one, you hear it, and in the case of a video, you hear it and you see it. And not only that, when you have your Bibles open, you also read it. And when you see it and hear it and read it, it leaves an impression upon your mind and is really one of the best teaching tools that we have. And God has provided all of it for us, hasn't he? Yes, indeed. So here's a foretype of it. They were teaching, then he lists all of those who were also helping him teach. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people, so he was on a platform and probably spoke from a type of a podium. And when the people opened it, all the people stood up. And of course, that is something that they needed to do, because here now, Ezra was the one who canonized the whole Old Testament, you see. So Ezra had a special part in this. So when it was opened, all the people stood up. And then Ezra gave the opening prayer. Now, very similar to what we do, isn't it? We all bring our Bibles. Of course, we open them up after the opening prayer. But, of course, he didn't read out of it until after he opened it up. And then he gave the opening prayer and blessed the people. We'll see that here in just a minute. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered amen with the lifting up of hands. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And so this was quite a thing. Now, there were others who were helping Ezra teach the people, so it lists all of them, and notice what it says. And the Levites caused the people to understand the law. Now that's what we do, to understand the Word of God. Plus, not only do we have the Word of God, we have the assistance of the Holy Spirit, we have Christ in us. We have the inspiration that God gives while there is teaching. We have the inspiration that comes from reading. We have the inspiration that comes from hearing. So we have quite a few more things to help us learn more. But notice here, verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave sense and caused them to understand the reading. So they had several problems here. Number one, the people understood Aramaic and the scriptures were written in Hebrew. Now there were some of those who understood Hebrew, and so those were the ones who could understand what it was read. then these others who were the assistants of Ezra and the Levites, they caused them to understand by doing what? By giving them the translation of it, by reading to them the sense of it from the scriptures, but talking to them in Aramaic. Now today, we've got the words of God translated for us, and the translations are given with understanding, and so then we do the same thing. We read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and give sense and understanding so that the people are able to understand. And then so Ezra, he stood up there with Nehemiah, stood up there with Ezra the scribe and the Levites, and taught the people, and said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord. Now just think of this. Here they came back out of captivity. Here, a lot of them had been in the land for quite a while. And some of them were following God, but the vast majority of people were not doing it. You read the book of Nehemiah and what Nehemiah had to do to literally beat the people in line to follow God because they were all busy out doing their own thing. So he said, today is holy. He says, mourn not, because they were there repenting when they heard the word of God. It says, weep not, mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So here God gave them one heart and one mind, didn't he? Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be you sorry, but make joy, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so that's what we need to do with this Feast of Tabernacles as well. God has given it for us that if you save your tithe for the feast, that you can eat the fat, that means the good thing, and drink the wine, those are the good things, and of course in moderation and in the way that God intends us to, and to enjoy the feast physically and to enjoy it spiritually. Now we find here that there were spiritual lessons that the people were learning because they were repenting. And now, after they had repented, said, now is the time that we go ahead and we rejoice before God because he's brought us back. So the Levites did that. Now verse 13, and on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites, and Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, then, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And so, that's what they did. They said, okay, let's dwell in booths. So they went out and they got the branches, as we'll cover a little later during the Feast of Tabernacles and why that was so. And so they made them little booths. Now today in Israel, as we'll see a little later, what they do on the flat roofs of the houses, they put up their little tabernacles and they put a bough over the top of the door of the tabernacles, and that's how they physically celebrated in Israel today. Very similar to what they did here. Now, all the congregation did that. Now let's notice here, verse 17, this is something. How rare it is for people to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, even among the children of Israel. And all the preparations of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths, for since the days of Joshua the son of Nun. That's a long time back, isn't it? Yes, it is. That's virtually 800 years. Unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. We can say that during the dedication of the temple, they did have the Feast of Tabernacles, and the people kept it, and probably during the time that the first part of the reign of Solomon, they kept the Feast of Tabernacles. But here, this was really quite a thing. that it wasn't done with such repentance and wholeheartedness as was done here, right? That's what it says. And there was very great gladness. Now notice, verse 18. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Now we do that. Now we have more than the law of God. We've got the whole Word of God. And so we read and study from every part of it, don't we? Yes, indeed. Now notice, they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. So that was quite a thing that they had. And isn't it interesting how that where the Spirit of God is, He inspires it to be the way that He wants it. And notice, we follow that very pattern, don't we? Now you see, the Feast of Tabernacles, some people in their Laodicean attitude have gotten into the attitude, well, the Feast of Tabernacles is my vacation. Well, now there are many things you can do that are fine and interesting during the feast and in the different locations where we have the Feast of Tabernacles. But let's understand that this is the Feast of God, not my vacation. So we need to keep that in perspective. The Feast of God, then, is to help us draw close to Him. The Feast of God, then, is to uplift us to do the will of God. And, of course, in this, God is building the character in us and molding us and building us into a spiritual temple of God. Well, let's come back here to the book of Haggai, the prophet Haggai, and let's see something that is very important for us to realize, and let's apply it to building a spiritual temple. Because now we are a tabernacle of God, He's dwelling in us, and we, as we're going to see, will dwell in the tabernacle of God, which will be New Jerusalem, as we'll see by the end of the feast. Now here's something that we need to understand and look at concerning our spiritual lives. Very interesting the way that it is brought out here, because when they came back from Babylon, they were to build the temple of God, and this takes place a bit before Ezra got there. But nevertheless, let's pick it up here in verse 2 of Haggai 1. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, there are some people of God today who have cut down on the Feast of God. They call it various other names, and they keep it when it's convenient. Some keep it 3 days, some keep it 4 days, some may keep it 5 days. God says, keep it 8 days. What did we find that was pleasing to God back in the book of Nehemiah? They kept the feast 7 days and the eighth day. See, so it's pleasing to God that we do the things that are right, not put off what God tells us to do. So then, because the people were saying, well, now is not the time to build the house of the Lord. Or we can put it this way. Now is not the time for us to really bother with the Feast of Tabernacles, because we need to take care of our lives first, that after all, God knows our hearts, and we'll be in the kingdom of God anyway. Well, we'll just have to see how that goes. And you'll find out when that day comes. But based upon this, we can have a lesson here and learn. So Haggai the prophet said, verse 4, is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now, we all live in what we would call sealed houses, don't we? And when that happens, as we're going to see during the Feast of Tabernacles, lethargy sets in. And that's what happened here. So God says, thus says the Lord God, consider your ways. So just like the people back there in the day of Nehemiah were considering their ways and repentance. Well, let this Feast of Tabernacles be a time where you consider your ways, and let there be repentance, and let there be change in the things that you need to do. Let God inspire you in it. Let the Word of God dwell richly in you, and let it change you. Now, here we have verse 6. You've sown much and bring in little. So they were having difficulties. And why? Because they weren't tending to the things that God wanted them to do first. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but none is warm. And he that earns wages to put it in a bag with holes. So, they had a time of inflation. They had a time when money didn't go as far as it would go. And so here's another thing to consider, too. How do you handle the tithes and offerings of God? Well, I'll let you think about that. You judge that yourself. And I've always found this. It's always true. Those who tithe and give offerings according to the way that God does, they always have sufficient. Those who don't, their lives are filled with holes where money just goes down the drain. We could say that. Yes, why? Because they don't have the blessing that God promised he would give if they would do the things that he's commanded. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. And all that takes money, doesn't it? Yes. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow on it. Now why, says the Lord, because of my house which is waste, and you run every man to his own house. In other words, this, if your Christian life is deteriorated to where the only thing that you do is take care of yourself, then you need to stop and consider. God has called you to a great and a tremendous calling, to be a part of the greatest thing that is going to be from the creation of the world. And yet, just like it is with human nature, and it's always true when disaster is at hand, just like the disciples before Christ was arrested, they couldn't even stay awake while he prayed. And that's just the way it is with human nature. When disaster is at hand, you go to sleep at the switch. And so here it is here. When everything is fine and nice and wonderful, you forget God. Well, that's why we have the Feast of God. That's why we have the Feast of Tabernacles. So it can draw us back to God, bring us back to his word, bring us back to worshiping God, bring us back to loving God, bring us back to loving the brethren and helping and serving them and doing the things that are right. So then, he told them that they would obey the voice of God, he would bless them. So they did. The people, let's pick it up here in verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spoke Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Now that's what we need to realize. God is with us if we obey and we're wholehearted to God, and wholehearted with each other. And notice what happens when God is with us. God is dwelling in us. God's Spirit is with us. And during this Feast of Tabernacles, he wants us to fellowship with him and fellowship with each other. Now notice, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. For God has got to stir us up with his Spirit. And now in these days, we need to be stirred up. And also, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord their God. So they did work. Now let's notice, there's a message on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles in chapter 2 and verse 1. And in the seventh day, in the 7th month, in the 1 20th day of the month, that is the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, there's a special message that came from God. And let's notice it. Came from the Lord by the prophet Haggai saying, "Speak unto Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, and the residue of the people who is left among you that saw this house in its first glory, how do you see it now? Is it not in my eyes in comparison as nothing?" It's going to be small. Just like the church. The church is small, but God loves it. And God loves us. And we have to respond by loving God. Let Him stir up our spirit within us and do as it says here in verse 4. "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel," says the Lord, "and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land," says the Lord, "and work." That's the message. In the time of prosperity and plenty, be stirred up and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. And God is with us, and God loves us, and God has called us. And let's come back here now, and let's finish in 1 John, the first chapter. Now, as we're turning back there to 1 John, the first chapter, let's understand. God has called us, and we're not the great of the world. We're not the mighty of the world. We're the weak of the world. But God has called us not to stay weak. God has called us so that we can be mighty in His Word and in His Spirit. God has called us not to stay dumb and ignorant, but to be educated so that we can become teachers and priests and kings in the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, we need the holy days of God to have a time to be taught. We need the Word of God so we can find the way that we need to go. We need the Spirit of God, and we need it to be stirred up within us to do what God wants us to do. And that God can dwell among us and fellowship with us. Now here, 1 John, the first chapter, and let's read it, and let's set this as the tone for the Feast of Tabernacles 2005. "That which was from the beginning," that's Christ, "that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our own eyes, and that which we observe for ourselves," and the Greek means to intently gaze upon and absorb what was being seen to learn, "and our hands handled," yes, they handled Him after He was resurrected from the dead, "concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested." So here we are at the end of the age. We have the Word of God. We have the truth of God. We have the knowledge of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the understanding of the holy days and why Christ came. God manifested in the flesh. And we have seen and are bearing witness and are reporting to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and have heard, we are reporting to you in order that you may have fellowship with us. And truly we do today, even through the words of what they have written. Because these are words that are sent in epistles which are lasting and eternal and come down to us to this day with the same authority as if the apostles were here in person speaking. And that's why They were to be witnesses unto the end of the earth, which we have in the Word of God. So this is a tremendous thing. Okay? We may have fellowship with them and fellowship with each other. And indeed, for the fellowship, indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. And this is what we need to realize for this feast. So in welcoming you to the feast with these words, I just want to read one more verse. And these things we are also writing to you so that your joy may be completely full. And let's have a wonderful and tremendous Feast of Tabernacles and visit in fellowship with each other, fellowship with God, get together with those people, some of those that you have never gotten together with, get to know them, fellowship with them, have a wonderful time, learn of the Word of God together, and make this the best Feast of Tabernacles yet. The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5D2, Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney, 2001, Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, 2981, Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, UYO, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa, Imbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willor, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.